This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, Paul. Before I speak, I was thinking when I was sitting there, it reminded me of when I started out working life about 25 years ago as a teacher of mathematics, would you believe? If anybody needs any help with fractions in the break afterwards, you know, I'm your man. One of the first things that they told us when we were being trained as teachers was that whenever you speak to your class or your audience, you begin by telling them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you've just told them. And the other thing that they told us was that never forget that in any audience, only about 25% at best at any time are going to be listening to you at all. So those 20 people in the room, thank you for coming. And thanks to the rest of you as well. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today and deliver my first speech as Chief Executive of Victim Support. As you've just heard, I'm relatively fresh. I've been in post for exactly 49 hours. And I'm proud to tell you that in those 49 hours, the volunteers and staff at Victim Support have spoken with more than 4,000 new victims of crime, assessed their needs and started to provide the emotional and practical support that they require. They've helped around 1,400 new witnesses in 630 new trials, guiding 820 of them around the court to explain what will happen to them in their trial. It's a real privilege to be joining this organization. It has such a distinguished history and is doing so much good work. An organization that's gone from strength to strength since becoming a single charity in only 2008. In just the last year, we've created a new National Homicide Service that I know has worked with many of you in responding sensitively to the many hundreds of tragedies across the country. I'd like to thank those involved in setting up the service, from Victim Support to the Ministry of Justice, from the police and from other agencies and voluntary organisations. I'd also like to pay particular tribute to those who have joined the service since it began and are working so hard to help those whose lives have been devastated. Victim Support has grown in many other ways too. We now reach more people than we ever have done. We're trialing new ways of delivering services, such as offering victims training in how to deal safely with challenging and antisocial behaviour in partnerships with organisations like Diffuse, and working with youth justice teams around the country to offer restorative justice opportunities to many hundreds and potentially thousands of people across the country. We've also started using text messages to offer our services to some victims in a lighter touch way. And perhaps most importantly of all, in the last year, more than 1,500 people have completed our volunteer training programs and began to provide support in their local communities. All of this is why victims who are helped by Victim Support, I think, are more than 3.5 times as likely to think that the local police in their area are doing an excellent job, and only half as likely to think that they're not. It's also why victims we help are 30% more likely to have confidence in the criminal justice system than those who never are offered our services. Now, I'm highly ambitious for Victim Support, as you might expect, together with the rest of the criminal justice system too, in terms of what we can do for victims and witnesses in the months and years ahead. Over the coming weeks, I plan to talk with as many of you and other colleagues and victims and witnesses across the country to better understand the challenge that we face. Of course, each person's story is individual. What happens to them has happened to no one else in the same way. But there are lessons, I think, that we can draw from looking at the total of everybody's experience in the criminal justice system. And I just want to share some of those thoughts with you. I'd like to draw out some of the implications as well that I see for Victim Support and the wider criminal justice system. Firstly, we know that people really want emotional and help and support. This chart uses the British Crime Survey data to estimate how many people would like the services that Victim Support provides. Firstly, it's clear from this data that there's a huge demand for support services from people who never come into contact with the criminal justice system. And even those who do, current funding for victim support services, in the most general sense, is not adequate to meet that demand. The second lesson we can learn from data from the British Crime Survey is that demand for support services is greatest amongst younger people. In fact, if you look at that chart, the total level of demand from those aged 16 to 21 is actually larger than the total level of demand from those aged between 50 and 100. For victim support, that means ensuring that we develop the right ways to contact and help these young people. We're not good enough at this at the moment, and we will be better in the future. A third lesson I would like to draw from the data that's available is that we have to treat every victim and witness as an individual. We simply cannot stereotype or predefine people's needs based on simplistic criteria or crime type definitions. Yes, it's true that some types of crime, particularly burglary, sexual offences, domestic violence, more often result in support needs. We know firsthand that many victims require expert specialist help, of course. And as a result, victim support has more than 100 specialist domestic and sexual violence workers across the country that see this firsthand every day. Also, alongside this, I'm also determined that we work more closely than ever before with organizations such as Rape Crisis, for example, to join up services that help victims of sexual and domestic violence. We also have nearly 50 people specializing in hate crime and supporting young victims across the country. So the British Crime Survey data, then, to me suggests that we need to guard against the risks of looking at crime type alone as the only indicator of need, as we move forward to think about how we will best direct resources for victims and witnesses in the future. Along this journey, then, it's of course vital that every victim of crime receives a genuine offer of help that is tailored to their individual circumstances. Now, we know we're at a time of severe fiscal constraints, and we need to look at how we offer services more efficiently and effectively. But the temptation to focus only on certain crime types will, I believe, leave hundreds of thousands of victims who desperately need help and support out in the cold and no one to turn to. Colleagues, we simply can't let this happen. This chart shows that if we ignored, for example, the victims of threats, theft, and vandalism, we'd be failing in society's duty to offer compassion and support to all those who genuinely need it. Anyway, that's enough graphs for now then. I'd just like to turn to victims and witness experiences of the criminal justice system itself. And let me start by saying there are many things that this sector can be proud of. Thanks in no small part to the people in this room, we're getting better and better at helping victims and witnesses come through the justice process stronger and more satisfied. I think it's worth saying in particular how often victims tell us that the police in their local area are doing a fantastic job and are sensitive and considerate in how they converse with the victims. So on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of victims and witnesses that we support who have benefited from the hard work to make this happen, I'd particularly like to say thank you on their behalf to the police. Now, as we begin to face the serious financial constraints as a sector and as a country, I think there are also some reasons to be optimistic too. Paul mentioned this in his introduction, and I totally agree with that. I know how seriously this government takes the well-being of victims and witnesses, and I think we should welcome the attention and focus that the Minister for Justice, who hasn't arrived yet, but I'll compliment him anyway, the focus that he's bringing to this area of work since he's been in post. And also, the fact that we now have Louise Casey as the first ever commissioner for victims and witnesses is also a huge step forward. And we look forward to working closely with Louise and her colleagues over the coming months and years. Now, before I finish, I just want to highlight two areas in which victims and witnesses consistently tell victim support that the criminal justice system needs to improve as a whole. Neither of these will come as a surprise to any of you, I'm sure, but both are about how we treat people as individuals. They are a reminder that we need to provide a service and not just a system. The first is about how we keep people updated and informed. Here's a tiny sample of what victims and witnesses have told us in the past few weeks. Just have a look at some of those statements, if you will. So as you see, it's a mixed bag. Some people's experiences are good, but far too many find the process alienating and confusing. We simply have to get better at communicating in a language that people understand and at a time that is convenient to them. I'm determined that victim support gets better in this area and can really help people through the criminal justice process as I believe we can. But we won't be able to do this alone. The second area is about the court experience itself. Here, again, are some recent quotes from witnesses. Now, I know that a lot of hard work goes on in the system to make the court experience fair, transparent, and as comfortable as possible. We've come a long way, but we need to be completely honest about this. For far too many people, the experience is something that deters them from ever being a witness again. And if we are to really build a stronger and fairer society, that outcome is not one that we can accept. For example, we need to ask why so many witnesses have their court dates and times moved so often. This is not how we should treat people who may have been through a very traumatic experience. It's also unacceptable that prosecution witnesses are ever expected to sit close to a defendant's family in court or share the same facilities. None of us would want our family or friends to go through that. These are just two relatively small examples of the much larger challenge that the criminal justice system faces whilst it works to improve its services. We all know that these things go on, and many of us have, in a small way, tried to do something about them. What I want to say today is that the changed political and economic world in which we find ourselves is, I believe, the best opportunity we have had for a generation to address these problems and make change happen. At Victim Support, we believe there are five changes that are needed. I'm really pleased the ministers just walked in to hear this. Firstly, victims need a guarantee of help when they need it. Second, they need the right to know what is happening in their case. Thirdly, we want a fair deal for witnesses where they are treated with respect and understanding. Fourth, we want every victim to have the right to an explanation, an apology, and some form of payback for what has happened to them. And fifth, we want the punishment that offenders receive to help deter further crime and so not create yet more victims. Now, I don't pretend that these are easy things to achieve, but I do know that unless the people in this room decide that they are fully committed to changing the criminal justice system, there is little chance of us achieving them. At Victim Support, we are thinking hard about how we do more for less. And we are already at the forefront of the big society, I think, with many thousands of volunteers supporting their local communities with services that are tailored to their local needs. But I believe we can deepen our role further still in the big society, looking at how we can involve volunteers in more of what we do, how we can broaden the services that we offer to victims and witnesses, and how we can support others in the sector too. It means building strong partnerships and alliances with other criminal justice agencies and voluntary organizations to make the most of our shared resources. It means making even more use of our local links to build tailored local solutions on a strong national foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, in the end, victim support exists for one reason only, to make victims and witnesses stronger. I'm really looking forward to working with you and hearing about how you think we can achieve that together. Thank you.